Chapter 9, Base Camps and Bed Down Facilities. Military base camps have played an instrumental and historical role through various forms and configurations to support the warrior, whether serving as a platform for sustainment or as a stronghold to repel enemy attacks. Operating from base camps is a fundamental tactic of ground-based forces. Base camps may have a specific purpose or they may be multifunctional. See ADP 4.0. Army and Marine Corps Base Camp Doctrine is provided in ATP 3-37.10/MCRP 3-40Delta.13, MCRP 3-17.7 November. The use of the term base camp in this chapter includes the descriptive purpose of facilities that meet the definition of a base camp, such as en route facilities, access facilities, theater opening facilities, bed down facilities, logistics support facilities, and facilities designated as bases. All force bed-down facilities are not within base camp perimeters. This chapter discusses the distinct differences between base camps and bases. It focuses on the general engineering aspects of base camps, including planning and design, standards, site layout, construction, and O&M, and other support facilities. Responsibilities and capabilities. This section discusses the responsibilities and capabilities of the Army, Marine Corps, Combatant Commander, Service Component Commander, Engineer Commander, USACE, and Installation Management Command. Each entity plays a unique and important role in the support required for base camps or bed-down facilities. Army and Marine Corps. Army and Marine Corps engineers have key responsibilities and capabilities to support base camps and force bed-down facilities, but they do not own base camp lifecycle activities or provide all bed-down capabilities. Base camp development and force bed-down are team efforts. Army forces typically rely on a mix of bases or base camps to deploy combat power to an operational depth. See ADP 4.0. The designated base camp commander temporarily owns the base camp. An engineer may be designated as a base camp commander, generally with no higher priority than any other officer. Engineers can be assigned to fill some of the staff positions to operate and maintain a base camp. For example, an engineer unit may be assigned the responsibility to plan, design, construct, operate, or maintain a base camp to complete these tasks for a base camp as a turnkey project and then command, own, and operate from the base camp. All services are capable of planning and executing bed-down support activities. General engineers can plan, design, and construct base camps and operate and maintain engineer systems for base camps and force bed-down support. See JP 3-10. Combatant Commander. The combatant commander is responsible for the major decisions involving base camp location and development within the area of responsibility. The combatant commander may delegate authority for base camp decision-making to service component commanders or to commanders exercising Title 10 U.S. Code service responsibilities. Decisions are often made in consultation with the host nation, subordinate commanders, and Department of State representatives. The combatant commander establishes the policies, requirements, and procedures for master planning in the JOA. The requirements for master planning are linked to the theater basing strategy. The combatant commander specifies in O plans and op boards the construction standards for the overall operation of facilities in the theater to minimize the construction effort expended on any given facility while assuring that the facilities adequately support the mission and meet all environmental, health, and safety requirements. Command emphasis is key to any environmental or engineer-related task. Service Component Commander. The Service Component Commander establishes a staff engineer section with a facilities and construction department that manages engineering and construction within the area of operations under the appropriate Title 10 U.S. Code responsibilities. The staff engineer section is responsible for developing the base camp and bed-down plan for service personnel and equipment arriving in the AOR. With guidance from the combatant commander and approval from the service component commander, the staff engineer section provides guidance on engineering and construction missions, establishes standards for construction, conducts coordination with the host nation, participates in funding, utilization, and resourcing boards, and coordinates with USACE or the NAVFAC in the Theater Engineer Command. Their responsibilities include integrating the legal, force health protection, and other aspects of environmental considerations provided from the respective areas of staff expertise. Service Component Commanders produce a service-level scheme of base camps that subordinate commanders use as the framework to develop their scheme of base camps. Engineer Commanders. Engineer commanders and staff are responsible for assisting the supported commanders by furnishing engineer advice and recommendations to the commander and other staff officers, preparing the engineering portions of plans, estimates, and orders that pertain to base camps, participating on project approval and acquisition review boards and base camp working groups as necessary, and coordinating and supervising specific engineer activities for which the engineer staff is responsible. The engineer staff assists the commander by performing a variety of functions to synchronize engineer activities in the operational area. See FM3-34 and MCWP3-34 for more information. Theater Engineer Command. The TEC will assist in the operational management and tactical execution of bed-down facilities. They conduct base master planning, engineer estimates, assign and manage troop construction, and conduct contract construction management. United States Army Corps of Engineers. USAIS is responsible for providing standards for construction, guidance on scalability, standardization, and modularity, expertise on contingency standard designs, and management of the AFCS. They also manage the worldwide power contingency contracts that provide power system services in conflict and disaster response locations. USAIS provides deployable augmentation teams to support base camps. Installation Management Command. The Installation Management Command is responsible for providing guidance on Army installation and facility management. The Army organization with premier knowledge on best practices can be transferred to facilities and base camp operations and management. The Installation Management Command may provide deployable augmentation teams to support base camps. Planning and Design. Combat engineers normally support initial entry or access into enemy-held territory through a beachhead, airhead, or bridgehead. The initial secured and defended area is then expanded into a substantial defended area, also referred to as a lodgment. General engineering may support the initial entry or access through lots or J-lots and airfield or port construction, maintenance, or repair. General engineers replace combat engineers so that they can move forward with maneuver forces. General engineers then provide support to expand the lodgment in size and capabilities as it progresses to a support area or joint security area, and then base development may begin. Some of the expedient bed-down facilities may be upgraded and may be contained within base camps. Base camps should be planned from the start of the mission, but requirements may evolve over time. Bed-down facilities may be required before, during, and post-combat. Base camps may also be established in nations adjacent to the operational area to support deployment before or after initial entry into an area. For example, an intermediate staging base may also serve as a base camp. Base camps and bed-down facilities may include new or prefabricated construction and make maximum use of existing structures, with and without repair or modification. Specific joint terminology. Base development, less force bed-down, is the acquisition, development, expansion, improvement, construction, and/or replacement of the facilities and resources of a location to support forces. An EBS is a multidisciplinary site survey conducted prior to or in the initial stage of an operational deployment, JP3-34. Force bed-down is the provision of expedient facilities for troop support to provide a platform for the projection of force, JP3-24. Force bed-down and base camp development is described in JP3-34 as separate sub-functions under the sustainment function. See JP3-34 for a discussion on bed-down engineering, including troop and aircraft bed-down. Specific Army and Marine Corps terminology. A base camp is an evolving military facility that supports the military operations of a deployed unit and provides the necessary support and services for sustained operations. ATP3-37.10/MCRP3-40Delta.13, MCRP3-17.7 November. Base camps are non-permanent by design and designated as a base when the intention is to make them permanent. A base or base camp has a defined perimeter and established access controls and should take advantage of natural and man-made features. A commander designates an area or facility as a base or base camp and often designates a single commander as the base or base camp commander who is responsible for protection, terrain management, and day-to-day operations of the base or base camp. Units located within the base camp are under the tactical control of the base camp commander for security and defense. According to ADP-40, base camps may be joint or single service and will routinely support United States and multinational forces. See ATP-37.10/MCRP-3-40-Delta.13, MCRP-3-17.7 November, and JP-34 for additional information on base camps. Base camp location selection is the process of evaluating a series of possible locations for a base camp, CEP-1105-3-1. It is part of the overall base camp planning development process. Selecting the best location for a base camp is a balance between operational, sustainment, and engineering requirements and the operational and mission variables. All sites considered as potential base camp sites should be scalable and easily expanded. The most desirable site locations are those that are easiest to secure and defend. When the establishment of a base camp is being considered, identify at least three suitable possible locations, COAs or options, before recommending the most advantageous COA. The entire staff should be involved in evaluating potential base camp sites. See ATP-37.10/MCRP-3-40-Delta.13, MCRP-3-17.7 November, EP-1105-3-1, and JP-3-34 for additional information. Base camp development planning is a time-sensitive and mission-driven cyclical planning process that determines and documents the physical layout of properly located, sized, and interrelated land areas, facilities, utilities, and other factors to achieve maximum mission effectiveness, maintainability, and expansion capability in theater, EP-1105-3-1. The process also addresses the eventual cleanup and closure of the base camp after the United States military mission is completed. Base camp development planning products include the planning report, maps, plan drawings, and other geophysical information. Further, the tabulation of existing and required facilities is essential in defining real property assets and shortfalls, and, subsequently, in developing projects and other actions to mitigate deficiencies. Some documents, such as selected maps, are used on a daily basis by assigned units and by those individuals who are responsible for operating and maintaining the base camp. For more detailed information, see EP-1105-3-1. Base development, less force beddown, is the acquisition, development, expansion, improvement, construction, and/or replacement of the facilities and resources of a location to support forces. See JP-3-34. According to ADP-40, a base camp is an evolving military facility that supports the military operations of a deployed unit and provides the necessary support and services for sustained operations. See JP-3-34 for more information. A design guide is a design tool for standardizing sustainable energy and water efficiency, safety and protection measures, and promoting visual order and consistent architectural themes. The design guide is a written and graphically depicted set of standards that governs the design, development, visual aspects, and maintainability of a specific base camp. A design guide applies mostly to longer duration base camps and those that will likely be transferred and become permanent facilities/sites in the host nation. The guide also may be used to define performance and customer service standards for various base camp functions. See ATP-37.10/MCRP-3-40-Delta.13, MCRP-3-17.7 November, and EP-1105-3-1 for additional information. The EBS documents the original environmental condition of the land. An EBS is required if an area is to be occupied by United States forces for more than 30 days. Documenting initial site conditions helps to prevent liability to the United States government for damage or contamination that was present before site occupation. Also, by identifying existing environmental hazards and potential health risks during the planning phase of a contingency operation, the overall suitability of a site can be used in the site selection process and concerns can possibly be mitigated with proper planning. For example, water or soil contamination, air pollution, poor site drainage, and improper waste management are environmental hazards and health risk factors that impact site suitability and planning. Hazards may be generated on and off of the survey site, and hazards include both those impacting personnel on the survey site and those impacting the surrounding indigenous populations and institutions. The survey can help planners determine the best site layout, including locations, from an environmental and health standpoint, For life support areas, maintenance, sanitation, hazardous material storage, and so forth. See ATP3-34.5/MCRP3-40Bravo.2, EP1105-3-1, and JP3-34 for additional information on the EBS and other environmental documentation, as well as environmental considerations. General site planning is finding and plotting to scale a logical location for every above-ground area, facility, and infrastructure requirement, along with the portrayal of the various often invisible major utility corridors, safety clearance zones, and various boundaries that influence and support the Base Camp Development Plan, EP1105-3-1. It requires multidisciplinary expertise in a process that links architecture, engineering, military operations planning, anti-terrorism/force protection, the environment, social science, and community planning. The result of this process establishes plan view dimensions, corridors, zones, and boundaries for the development of a base camp, usually portrayed on overlays to maps of the area. See ATP3-37.10/MCRP3-40Delta.13, MCRP3-17.7November, and EP1105-3-1 for additional information. Land use planning is the process of mapping and planning the allocation of land use areas based on general use categories, mission analysis products, functional requirements and interrelationships, and criteria and guidelines. ATP3-37.10/MCRP3-40Delta.13, MCRP3-17.7November. A land use plan is like a jigsaw puzzle because each piece of the plan is intended to fit together to form a whole that is greater than the sum of the parts. The plan is sized and shaped to account for constraints that cannot be overcome, to take advantage of opportunities that exist, to accommodate existing requirements, and to allow for future expansion. Compatible land uses are placed close to each other and incompatible land uses are not. See ATP3-37.10/MCRP3-40Delta.13, MCRP3-17.7November, and EP1105-3-1 for more information on land use planning. The master planning for base camps generally follows the process that is used for permanent installations, except it has a shortened planning horizon and may not be prepared to the same level of detail. See AR210-20, ATP3-37.10/MCRP3-40Delta.13, MCRP3-17.7November, and EP1105-3-1 for additional information on master planning. Site design, sometimes referred to as site planning, includes the actions taken by a design professional to draw up and prepare detailed plans, specifications, and cost estimates for the construction or renovation of facility complexes, individual buildings, infrastructure, and supporting utilities. The term site design is used to avoid confusion with the terms site planning and general site planning. ATP3-37.10/MCRP3-40Delta.13, MCRP3-17.7November. Base camp cleanup and closure is the process of preparing and executing alternative COAs to vacate a base camp after a United States military mission is complete. An archival record is prepared that includes the operational history of the base camp, the actions taken to clean up and close the base camp, and a description of cleanup and closure tasks that could not be completed, which may lead to land use, health, safety, and environmental problems in the future. See ATP3-37.10/MCRP3-40Delta.13, MCRP3-17.7November, and EP1105-3-1 for more information. Beddown facilities. Some expeditionary or initial beddown facilities are located within a base camp after base development begins. The combatant commander may choose to develop some base camps very early in a campaign or operation so that some beddown facilities are within base camps from the start. Bases and base camps support the reception, beddown, and employment of personnel, equipment, and logistics. Beddown facilities are expeditionary or initial operating facilities with construction standards designated by the combatant commander. Force beddown facilities include billeting, dining halls, religious support facilities, medical clinics, hygiene facilities, motor pools, and aircraft facilities. The planning for bed down is fully integrated with the combatant commander basing strategy since some of these initial facilities will later be expanded and upgraded. Life cycle planning flows from bed down to a scheme of base camps to transfer or close. The information generated from master planning facilitates future cost-benefits analyses that enable decision-making for other aspects of base camp activities. See AR210-20 for additional information on real property master planning for Army installations for considerations that can be applied to contingency operations. Base Camp Doctrine. The Base Camp Lifecycle, Classification System, Principles, and Functional Areas are discussed in the following paragraphs. See ATP 3-37.10/MCRP 3-40Delta.13, MCRP 3-17.7 November, for additional information on Base Camp Doctrine. Base Camp Lifecycle. The Base Camp Lifecycle embodies the major activities that are involved in base camps. These activities are mutually reinforcing, not mutually exclusive, and include strategic system and policy integration, planning and design, construction, operations, transfer and closure, command and control. Base Camp Classification System. Base camps are broadly classified by size, level of capabilities, and purpose. This classification system provides common terminology and a framework that aids the conduct of all base camp lifecycle activities. The four sizes of base camps are extra small, small, medium, and large. Each size has a range of population that the base camp is designed to support. The levels of capabilities are basic, expanded, and enhanced. The levels of capabilities describe the characteristics of a base camp in terms of support and services, overall quality of life that are provided. This includes the nature of the construction effort applied that is commensurate with the anticipated duration of the mission. Base camps are developed to serve a specific purpose, such as an intermediate staging or forward operating or logistics base, or as support for reception, staging, onward movement, integration, training, detainee processing, and resettlement, or they may be developed to serve a multifunctional purpose. The designated purpose of the base camp and the operational requirements of tenant units serve as primary guides in designing the base camp. Base camp principles. Successful base camps are characterized by four principles that are incorporated throughout the life cycle. ATP 3-37.10/MCRP 3-40Delta.13, MCRP 3-17.7 November. Commanders and staffs use the base camp principles as a guide for analytical thinking. These principles are as follows. Scalability, sustainability, standardization, survivability. Base camp functional areas. Base camp functional areas are related base camp tasks and activities, and they are grouped together to facilitate planning and execution. See ATP 3-37.10/MCRP 3-40Delta.13, MCRP 3-17.7 November, for more information. During mission planning, the base camp functional areas help commanders and staffs organize the broad range of base camp requirements and the supporting information and tasks required for execution. The following are the five base camp functional areas: operations, logistics, services, protection, facilities, and infrastructure. Standards. DoD construction agents are the principal organizations to design, award, and manage construction contracts in support of some semi-permanent facilities and permanent facilities. Major construction standards are as follows. Semi-permanent. Semi-permanent construction standards allow for finishes, materials, and systems selected for moderate energy efficiency, maintenance, and lifecycle cost with a life expectancy of more than 2 years, but less than 10 years. Permanent. Permanent construction is designed and constructed with finishes, materials, and systems selected for high energy efficiency and low maintenance and lifecycle cost. Permanent construction has a life expectancy of more than 10 years. The combatant commander approves permanent construction. Base camp development planning. Engineers should be familiar with numerous planning considerations and design factors when planning the base camp. Major base camp planning and design considerations include the base camp doctrine and standards highlighted in the previous sections of this manual and also include the following areas. Protection. Force protection considerations are critical to the development of base camps. Facility standards identification. The combatant commander establishes the base camp standard for the JOA by an op order or fragmentary order. These standards are intended to provide the combatant commander's expectations for base camp living and operating conditions to component commanders. Master planning. The combatant commander establishes the policies and procedures for developing, approving, and implementing base camp master planning in the JOA. ATP 3-37.10/MCRP 3-40Delta.13, MCRP3-17.7 November for additional information. Construction management. Responsible components, often USACE, theater engineer, command engineers, or facility engineer teams, will track the development of base camp construction according to the master plan priorities and report progress. Base camp planners should be familiar with the appropriate publications, references, and planning tools required to develop a base development site plan. A base development site plan is an overlay of a topographic map or a computer-aided design that shows the location of a future development site and the planned physical site layouts and locations of required areas, facilities, and infrastructure required for a specific base camp. The base development site plan is dimensioned to scale with planned view outlines of proposed buildings, utility systems, road networks, and site improvements and the necessary topographic features. A base development site plan is prepared as part of the overall base camp development planning. Preparing a base development site plan is a team effort and requires multidisciplinary expertise that links architecture, engineering, military operations planning, protection, the environment, social sciences, and community planning. It includes a set of interrelated documents that record the planning process involved in laying out, determining the scope, and initiating implementation actions for a base camp during contingency operations. There's no right answer in developing a base development site plan. Each base development site plan is unique and is shaped by the mission, the units it will support, the land upon which it will be developed, and the respective backgrounds, skills, and contributions of the planning team members. Once the base development site plan is completed, an action plan is developed for its implementation. The appropriate combatant commander or theater commander designates the proper level of command authority to approve the base development site plan. The decision to establish a base camp is made at any time during the process of planning and executing a military operation. Ideally, it should be made very early in the process to allow appropriate planning in a proactive rather than reactive environment. USACE usually has the mission to plan or assist in the planning and development of base camps in support of contingency operations. Engineers and planners should be prepared to support and assist users whose first priority is the mission in making effective base camp site selection and layout decisions. A base camp could be established in a hostile nation after active combat actions cease, such as in Iraq. In a friendly nation as a location to be used in the event of a deployment, such as in Kuwait or Turkey, or in a friendly nation to support active combat operations in a nearby country, such as in Qatar. USACE initiated base camp development planning to assist military planners and establish a process. Key considerations in base camp development planning include selecting suitable base camp locations while coordinating with combatant commanders, the Department of State, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, other federal agencies as appropriate, and the host nation. Planning and documenting the detailed actions needed for a properly located and sized base camp that consider related land areas, facilities, utilities, and other factors to provide United States forces with the safest, healthiest, and best living and working conditions. Planning and executing the cleanup and closure of a base camp in a manner that meets United States and host nation standards or those approved by the theater command. The base camp development planning process focuses primarily on the engineer-specific areas of base camp planning, but also requires team effort contributions from many participants. Base camp planners assist in the location, design, construction, cleanup, and closure of base camps that support military forces or governmental organizations across the competition continuum. Integral to the base camp development planning process is the expectation that base camp development has a limited time frame and, therefore, will require rapid planning and fast-track construction. Other factors, such as rapidly changing military and political situations, parallel missions in the same or neighboring regions, or a reintroduction of combat operations into the target area of the proposed base camp, may require the steps in the planning process to be altered. Also, the requirement to serve host nation needs and address concerns regarding the establishment of a single base camp or a series of base camps may change the described steps of the planning process and the options influencing flexibility within each planning step. The intended lifespan of the facilities and infrastructure of a base camp depends on mission-driven and economic decisions. A likely component of this effort is the FFE support that USACE will provide to the tactical commanders who determine the need for a base camp. The base camp development planning process is a time-sensitive and mission-driven cyclical planning process that determines and documents the physical layout of properly located, sized, and interrelated land areas, facilities, utilities, and other factors to achieve maximum mission effectiveness, maintainability, and expansion capability in theater. Planners rarely perform the steps of the base camp planning process in exact sequence. Consequently, numbers are not assigned to these steps. At times, planners may enter the process when it is well underway, since planning is iterative and intuitive in nature. See EP 1105-3-1 for more information on base camp development planning. The base camp development planning process requires a multidisciplinary, multi-staff team approach to efficiently identify, analyze, and develop workable solutions to the many challenges that will require addressing. Base camp planning team members may consist of commanders and staffs from the units that will occupy or may already be occupying the base camp. Operational planners and protection experts, civil affairs specialists, technical experts in engineering and other design professions, environmental and preventive medicine experts, resource managers, range and training experts, program analysts, contracting, real estate, and other legal specialists, and host nation planners. In other words, organizations that have a major role or will impact the base camp development planning should be included in the team. The base camp development planning process is an iterative process that is continuous. It is not finished until the facilities and land are turned back over to the host nation. Base camp development plans are shaped to improve base camp living and working conditions. For example, tents convert to shelters, shelters convert to buildings. Field sanitation converts to chemicals, chemicals convert to waterborne systems. All levels of command are involved in real property planning and its related facility programming actions. Therefore, base camp development planning is reviewed and approved by the base camp commander or designated representative by means of a base camp planning board and by higher echelons as appropriate. This procedure has the added advantage of serving as a check and balance against hasty or capricious planning. The additional technical review and approval of development plans for specialized projects and facilities, such as the planning of munition storage and handling facilities, ranges and training areas, and high security and aviation facilities are required. Base camp development planners should consider the objective end state condition of the base camp facilities and the land area it occupies from the very start of the planning process. Initial agreements should address the cleanup, closure, and disposal or turnover of facilities to the host nation that were once occupied by United States forces. The objective condition of formerly occupied land is defined because in many cases the original owners want it returned in the same condition that it was in prior to United States occupancy. Note, the JCMS is the official tool for base camp development planning and design. Facility planning and design. Adequate bed-down base camp and support area facilities are as vital across the competition continuum as they are critical to sustainment. Engineers at the strategic, operational, and tactical levels construct, maintain, and repair facilities for receiving, storing, and distributing all classes of supply and supporting all other logistics functions. Engineers are involved in the procurement, construction, maintenance, and repair of logistics facilities and associated environmental considerations for general supply and the more specialized purpose of storing munitions. Engineers tasked to support logistics installations have four major missions. Provide new facilities, maintain existing facilities, recover and repair facilities damaged by hostile actions, and upgrade existing facilities to meet minimum standards or usage requirements. In some combatant commander area of responsibility, peacetime construction and host nation agreements have provided extensive facilities. In less developed theaters, there may be no pre-existing logistics facilities. In such theaters, adapting and converting commercial property to military use or constructing new facilities may be required to provide logistics support facilities. Due to the magnitude of new construction and maintenance and repair of existing infrastructure generally associated with support facilities, it is recommended that planners and designers research the applicable Army regulations, Department of the Army pamphlets, doctrine manuals, UFC, standard design guides, technical manuals, and other applicable guidance. This includes AR-415-16, TM-5-301-2, TM-5-301-4, TM-5-304, UFC 4 series. Planning factors. The ASCC engineer staff and subordinate commands rely heavily on FFE, in the form of forward deployment and reachback to accomplish base camp design, construction, and management functions. The facility's engineering team is ideally suited to serve as a directorate of public works for a base camp in a contingency operation, See FM3-34 for a discussion on the teams and resources available. Note, planning factors can be found in ATP 3-37.10/MCRP 3-40Delta.13, MCRP 3-17.7 November. Basecamp planning and design. There is no single correct design to a base camp. There are many possible designs and variations that are efficient and functional. Specific variables include whether the constructing unit will be occupying existing facilities or building from the ground up, using local labor and materials or bringing them in from other nations, using a standards book or specific commander's guidance. The design also considers the operational aspects of the base camp and includes base camp land use categories that will support the purpose of the base camp. See ATP 3-37.10/MCRP 3-40Delta.13, MCRP 3-17.7 November, for information on base camp land use categories. To determine the requirements for land, facilities, and infrastructure, base camp development planners assess the mission, population, purpose, lifespan, construction standards, and commander's guidance. Population. The base camp population includes tenant and transient units and organizations, which can include United States, multinational, and host nation personnel, units, and organizations, CAF and non-CAF. Transient units and organizations are those that come to the base camp for specified services and support, which may not necessarily require overnight stays. Determining the number of transients that a base camp will serve is a critical factor in accurately identifying requirements for base camp facilities, infrastructure, services, and support. Sources of population data for a base camp include Table of Organization and Equipment Documents, Table of Distribution and Allowance Documents, Non-appropriated fund documents, and other United States government documents that provide data on segments of the population, such as contractor personnel and local national employees. The time-phased force and deployment list. The civilian tracking system, which provides information regarding United States civilians present or scheduled to be present in theater. United States government contracting documents that authorize United States and foreign contractors and host nation employees. Add a personnel count to the personnel count of the assigned military units to determine the total planned population of a proposed base camp. The purpose or reason for using the facility to support the mission. The projected service life for the use of the facility. Construction standards as found in UFC and local building codes. Commander's guidance as outlined in the O-Plan or OPORD. Fire protection. Plan fire protection into the design of all base camps. Tent separations, wiring standards, and soldier or marine education are all critical components in reducing or preventing base camp fires and mitigating their effects on soldiers, marines, and equipment. On a historical note, more than 50 tents in Kuwait were lost due to fires during Operation Enduring Freedom / Operation Iraq Freedom. Most fires were due to improper electrical wiring connections and involved contractor-supplied tents that lacked the same flame-retardant material that military-issued tents have. A lack of proper spacing, cleanliness, unit discipline, fire protection equipment, and training contribute to fire hazard. Note, it is possible to retrofit tents that are not flame-retardant. Utilities. Design utility systems based on current applicable UFC, technical manuals, and guidance. Use engineering calculations to determine the size system employed. Where economically supportable and practicable, electric grid should be connected to commercial power. Smaller or remote bases should construct central power plants or microgrids that are capable of supporting 125% of the camp maximum demand load or use distributed generators of sufficient capacity to support maximum demand loads. When standalone distributed generators are the main power source, size them so that no generator set is loaded at less than 50% output capacity. Base camp utilities should be tied into local municipalities if it is economically reliable, feasible, and if they meet clean energy, health, and other protection standards. There should be a minimum of 2 wells per camp, 1 primary and 1 backup, located within the camp boundaries. The last choice is to use the tactical water purification systems, potable water trucks, or bottled water. Land use plan. A land use plan depicts general locations for areas in relation to any existing development patterns and any existing major constraints identified by earlier data analysis, A land use plan should lay out the basic scheme for main vehicular and rail networks, and it should designate the most advantageous locations and alignments for the mains, substations, and plants associated with the utility systems. Land use relationships should achieve the most efficient arrangement of functions, should resolve existing problems, and should provide logical and desirable locations for all mission and functional requirements. Drainage planning is done up front based on rainfall expectations over the duration of occupancy. Planning and design of other bed-down facilities. Support area facilities in a contingency operation can vary widely. The simplest facility may be a hard stand surface with rudimentary surface drainage and a supporting road system. More complex installations may look like urban industrial parks and include warehouses, maintenance and repair facilities, water, sewage, and electrical utilities, refrigeration or other climate control capability, and supporting roads, railroads, ports, airfields, protective fencing, fire services, personnel, and support and administration facilities. Logistics installations include general, ammunition, and maintenance depots, storage sites to include fuel storage, and hospitals. It is necessary to determine requirements for time-phased facility construction, war damage repair, construction material, and other engineering needs for supporting deployed forces. In developing and evaluating alternatives, planning should result in the determination of critical requirements, duration of construction projects, and acquisition of information for scheduling and requisitioning. A logical task sequence based on the priorities necessary to accomplish the mission. An accurate estimate of required materials and labor that takes into account host nation guidelines and resources. The determination of command and support relationships providing for engineering coordination throughout the theater or area of operations. The identification method for controlling the situation as it develops or changes. The identification of environmental considerations that may impact planning decisions. Compliance with meeting the commander's guidance if possible. Conversion of existing facilities. The use and modification of existing facilities are more advantageous than pursuing new construction based on the availability of time, labor, and materials. Host nation agreements may require compensation for using or converting such facilities. Engineers, host nation parties, and civilian contractors are encouraged to use ingenuity, imagination, and inventiveness to adapt existing facilities for military use. A cost-benefit analysis will be one of the factors used to determine if new construction is more prudent or appropriate. An infrastructure reconnaissance, assessment, or survey is recommended to document the condition of and pre-existing deficiencies in existing structures adapted for military use. Conducting an EBS and OESHA together is highly recommended to ensure that hazmat, which can endanger soldier or marine health, is not present in the existing structures or their surrounding areas and to limit claims against the United States government later in the life of the facility. The EBS and OESHA are completed as soon as possible if they cannot be coordinated before the area is inhabited. Construction. The Combatant Commander, JFC, and ASCC/MCCC with Title 10 U.S. Code responsibilities identify the minimum essential engineering and construction requirements for facilities, including the new construction and repair of war-damaged facilities. For the ASCC, the Theater Engineer Command is normally responsible for planning, prioritizing, and tasking subordinate units for project execution. The Theater Engineer Command can provide construction assistance and restoration support to the other services when assets are available or as directed by the ASCC/MCCC. Support may also be provided to Allied forces when they are assisting United States objectives. The Combatant Commander or JFC may designate a Regional Wartime Theater Construction Manager to coordinate and prioritize engineer construction activities of services in a geographic area. Site selection and layout. Planners conduct a preliminary reconnaissance, initially a map reconnaissance, that is usually followed by a field reconnaissance. The field reconnaissance team may be composed of, but not limited to, representatives of the units that the facility will support, the operations staff officer, S3, of the unit responsible for construction, a command group representative, a civil affairs personnel representative, other specialists, real estate, medical, chemical, radiological, nuclear, legal, environmental, as required, and a representative of the host nation. For more climate-specific guidance, see ATP 3-90.97, ATP 3-90.98/MCTP 12-10 Charlie, and ATP 3-90.99/MCTP 12-10 Delta. Site selection. Site selection and layout are shared responsibilities between the engineer and architects and the site user. The engineer, protection officer, operations officer, and logistician may each have their own ideal site location, but trade-offs are made based on a priority of criteria or restrictions. Emphasis should be placed on the tactical situation, capability to defend the site, local terrain features, distance from population centers, availability of suitable existing facilities that may be occupied immediately or modified to desired specifications, environmental restrictions that may limit the size of the required facility, these may be caused by weather or host nation policies, other environmental considerations that may affect facility locations, designs, or requirements, accessibility to projected traffic, distance from road networks, availability of construction materials and local labor assets, local weather conditions and climatic extremes that may demand refrigeration or other climate control measures, potential mission expansion and surge requirements. Layout. When locating and positioning each support area facility, the commander evaluates all information gathered in the planning and reconnaissance phases. Once the commander or designated representative has finalized a decision on where the installation is to be built, the engineer develops a construction plan that takes into consideration the location and available resources, military, host nation, or contract construction personnel, materials, and equipment. The layout should be well communicated, coordinated, and organized in such a way that it can be completed in time to meet the operational priorities and minimize future controversies. Internal operating efficiency may also be considered in the facility layout. The JCMS and AFCS illustrate typical standardized installation layouts. New construction and use of non-standard designs must be held to a minimum. When feasible, facility requirements must be met first by the use of existing facilities, United States and host nation, organic unit shelters, and portable or relocatable facility substitutes. The standards for new construction, initial or temporary, are dictated by the combatant commander or ASCC/MCCC based on the expected duration of use, availability of materials, man hours of construction effort, and material cost. Locally available materials may dictate design and construction criteria. Plans are provided for many supply and maintenance facilities in the JCMS. Modification may be required to adapt to local conditions. Consult the Contingency Location Master List and Enduring Location Master List for specific guidance on building standards at known base locations. Specific facilities within base camps. Other facilities that may be contained in base camps include housing, administration and support, ammunition and storage, medical treatment, dislocated civilian camps, and detention facilities. See United States Army European Command Regulation 420-100 as an example for theater-basing standards. Housing facilities. Army Europe Regulation 420-100 and United States Central Command Regulation 415-1 are examples of combatant commander guidance that provide very specific recommended minimum planning factors and construction standards for facilities within base camps. The Southeast Asia HUD is a frequently used solution for bed down and base camp facilities. Southeast Asia huts are 512 square feet, 16 feet by 32 feet. A Southeast Asia hut has 8 110 or 220 volt electrical outlets. Normally, there is an environmental control unit on each end for climate control. A Southeast Asia hut is constructed of wood with a sheet vinyl floor, 5/8 inch gypsum walls and ceiling, flat latex paint, metal roof, precast concrete pilings, painted exterior, and a nail board 6 feet above the floor, which allows soldiers or Marines to put a nail on the wall to hang things. A variation of the Southeast Asia hut is the Davidson Southeast Asia hut, which combines 6 Southeast Asia huts to save materials. When in a Davidson configuration, there are 5 Southeast Asia hut units with 1 12-foot by 32-foot latrine for a total of 2,944 square feet of enclosed space. There is a 5-foot-wide walkway on each side. An administrative configuration has 3,072 square feet, but the latrines only take up 256 square feet. It has walkways all around the building. The entire footprint is 42 feet by 106 feet, including walkways. Life support areas. A standard life support area has 20 tent, extendable, modular personnel tents in various configurations. The large spacing between tents is for fire lanes and to allow cranes and other heavy equipment to move around to service air conditioners without damaging the existing tents or wires. The wide fire lanes also double as fire breaks and allow maneuver room for firefighting equipment. Wooden buildups should not be constructed on or inside the tents, as the wind tends to drag the tent fabric across the rough wooden edges, causing the tents to be destroyed. The tent city has a 4-inch, 100-millimeter gravel pad surrounded by a ditch. The ditch is for drainage when it rains and to separate the no-drive area of the life support area from the rest of the camp. The size and depth of the ditch should be adequate to contain anticipated local rainfall and runoff and to prevent vehicular traffic from entering and exiting at non-designated points across the ditch. Geotextile is normally not used to construct ditches. Surge housing. Base camp should maintain the ability to expand to house an additional 10% of the total population as transients and surges. During surge periods that exceed 10%, Tier 2 tents maximum will be used for housing. The definition of construction standards for tents includes Tier 1. Tier 1 consists of a general-purpose medium-field tent with plywood floor panels. Tier 2. Tier 2 consists of a general-purpose medium-field tent with plywood floor panels, two electrical light fixtures, two electrical outlets, and space heaters. Tier 3. Tier 3 consists of a general-purpose medium-field tent with a full wooden tent frame, plywood panel sidewalls, raised insulated flooring, four electrical light fixtures, eight electrical outlets, and space heaters. Toilet and shower facilities. Toilet and shower facilities are normally lighted, heated, and equipped with running hot and cold water. A sanitary wall board is the preferred wall covering for latrines. Sheetrock, if used, should be waterproof with a waterproof finish for cleaning. The female-to-male facility ratio will be based on the actual percentage of the sexes on a base camp at the current time or anticipated for the near future. The shower and toilet construction goals for base camps are as follows. Showers. A shower head per population ratio of 1 to 20 through 1 to 10. Toilets. A toilet per population ratio of 1 to 20 through 1 to 10. Note, consideration should be given to shower water reuse systems or other water reuse systems. Administrative and support facilities. CAFCS or JCMS and ATP 3-37.10/MCRP 3-40 Delta.13, MCRP 3-17.7 November, for specific details on constructing administrative and support facilities. Ammunition supply and storage facilities. A mature theater requires a network of ammunition supply and storage facilities. Well-situated and stocked ammunition supply and storage facilities are critical to the timely distribution of required munitions. Ammunition must be stored with maximum attention to protection against natural and man-made threats, including accidents caused by careless storage and handling. Class 5 and Class 5 aircraft ordnance supply items are explosive and often contain sensitive components. Properly designed, constructed, ventilated, and maintained ammunition supply and storage facilities help limit the possibility of accidents. Appropriate storage ensures maximum serviceability and shelf life of stocks and keeps maintenance requirements to a bare minimum. Planners must address concerns contained in DA PAM 385-64 or NAVC OP5 Volumes 1 and 3 to ensure the effective and safe storage of ammunition. Theater ammunition storage locations. A combat service support sustainment brigade augmented with a theater distribution element provides the distribution of theater munitions. Ammunition may be pushed forward to combat service support battalion ordnance ammunition units where further distribution is made to forward ammunition supply points. These are located in a secure area. Units may then draw directly from ammunition supply points. Ammunition may be brought further forward to ammunition transfer holding points where munitions are transferred from core haul assets to user resupply vehicles. Generally, the farther to the rear the ammunition facility is, the more elaborate the construction and the more extensive the construction support required. Ammunition storage planning considerations. Planners must consider a number of factors when they are designing ammunition supply and storage facilities. Planning considerations include drainage. Munitions can be damaged by excessive moisture and must be kept dry. Proper grading and, where possible, the planning and installation of drainage facilities in the area of the ammunition facility will divert rainfall, flash floods, and groundwater away from ammunition stacks. Shelter. Ammunition and explosives must be well sheltered and properly protected from the elements and the enemy. Depending on the situation and the assets available, these shelters may range from approved steel to arch earth-mounted igloos to an outdoor modular storage system reinforced with earthwork berms. These systems are discussed in ATP 4-35.1. Ventilation. Adequate ventilation is required to protect stocks from moisture and to prevent the buildup of toxic and combustible gases. Size. The size of the facility depends on the kinds and quantities of munitions being handled and local supply demands. The facility size is determined by the logistics unit commander based on standards set forth in DAPAM 385-64 or NAVC OP5 Volumes 1 and 3 and the tactical situation. Vehicle access. Vehicles that use the ammunition facility must be able to travel to and from the appropriate pickup points. Road networks and traffic flow patterns inside the facility must support concurrent resupply and provide for the rapid evacuation of all vehicles in case of emergency. Firefighting equipment must have ready access to all parts of the facility. Water supply. Water tanks and reservoirs must be located in key centralized areas to properly support firefighting activities. Facility protection. The adequate protection of an ammunition facility may be provided through a combination of facility hardening and dispersion and active and passive security measures. Generally, the Area Damage Control Plan will stipulate what specific measures must be taken before, during, and after a damage incident and who will be responsible for each measure. Environmental considerations. With its associated force health protection, environmental considerations are an aspect of protection that must be properly planned and evaluated. Adjacent property use. Present and potential future uses are important. Deeds of restriction may be required for adjacent properties near the ammunition storage areas to reduce premature detonation caused by outside hazards. Ammunition storage site selection. The logistics unit commander determines the best location for ammunition supply points that best supports the scheme of maneuver and meets the commander's intent. The ammunition supply point should be located within a reasonable support distance of maneuver elements, and it is desirable to place the ammunition supply points near an established MSR, road or rail, to facilitate transportation network access, stocking, and distribution. Considerations should be given to the characteristics of stored material relative to major facilities, such as airfields, petroleum, oils, and lubricant storage facilities, or ports. Taking this precaution will reduce the overall extent of massive collateral destruction if the enemy targets other facilities. Having input from ammunition personnel on the net explosive weight of planned ammunition stored at each site is crucial to ensuring the safety of all personnel in the surrounding area. See Department of Defense Safety Regulation 6055.9 and Ordnance Pamphlet 5, Volumes 1 and 2 for additional information on munition storage. Ideally, choosing a location with level terrain, existing natural barriers, and good drainage is preferable. This will serve to minimize earthwork cut and fill requirements. If possible, existing facilities or structures suitable for conversion to storage areas should be used first before pursuing new construction. The engineer advises the logistics unit commander on such matters as the location of construction materials, topography, drainage, and the condition of local road and bridge networks. Consideration must also be given to security measures and the ease of defense. Where possible, sites should provide a decent defilade to provide concealment from direct enemy observation. The specific layout of an ammunition supply or storage facility depends on the tactical situation, terrain, and type and amount of ammunition being handled. Engineers supporting the construction of ammunition supply and storage facilities advise the appropriate commander on construction and maintenance matters. If required by the urgency of the tactical situation, the facility may be required to receive and issue ammunition before construction is complete. Engineers may have to alter construction plans and techniques to allow for the safe and efficient handling of ammunition while construction proceeds. Ammunition storage facilities are ideally arranged in dispersed storage areas. The separation of facilities provides greater protective dispersion, expedites the handling, receipt, and issue of materials, and facilitates inventory management and segregation. The road network is designed so that each area can be entered and exited independently. This prevents crossing traffic in all areas. Fire breaks wide enough, 50 feet minimum, to prevent fires from spreading should be constructed and maintained. Soil that contains enough organic matter to allow it to easily burn must be excavated to the mineral subsoil. However, since fire breaks around ammunition stacks are easily detected by aerial reconnaissance, their use may have to be restricted or camouflaged. Existing buildings may be used for ammunition storage as long as the rated floor has sufficient load-bearing capacity. Chemical, incendiary, and white phosphorus rounds should not be stored on wooden floors since they are a fire hazard. Ammunition and explosives may be stored outdoors according to DA PAM 385-64 or NAVC OP 5 Volumes 1 and 3, which detail site and layout requirements for the outdoor storage of ammunition. Ammunition and explosives may be stored temporarily on vehicles for adequate dispersion and rapid deployment. The effects imposed by local weather and climate conditions must be taken into consideration in the design and construction of ammunition storage facilities. Drainage is an important consideration in certain climates and areas, including desert environments. Key planning considerations include the following. Desert. The need for dispersion is extremely important since natural concealment is generally quite sparse. Shadows and regular-shaped patterns are conspicuous and can be avoided by the use of small, irregular stacks and the elimination of regular lines and rows. In this environment, engineers are seldom required to develop extensive road networks. Cold climates. Care must be taken to provide adequate dunnage for ammunition storage. Defilades must be avoided because they may be susceptible to natural flooding after a thaw. Engineer assets may be required to clear and maintain the road network in snow and icy conditions. See TM 3-34.48-1. Wet climates. Particularly in the tropics, the maximum effort must be made to combat the effects of moisture. Adequate shelter, dunnage, and ventilation must be provided. Very hot and very cold areas. Static electricity is an important consideration. Ammunition storage construction. Engineer units have the following construction responsibilities when supporting ammunition supply and storage. Reconnaissance, improvement, and construction of roads and bridges which provide access to and egress from the ammunition facility. Engineers will also construct internal road networks within the facility. Location of local water sources for firefighting, construction of required reservoirs, and a water distribution system. Construction of standard ammunition storage magazines for indoor storage and berms and pads for outdoor storage. Engineers may be tasked to supply appropriate dunnage for ammunition stacks according to DA PAM 385-64 or NAVC OP 5 Volumes 1 and 3. Construction of housing and support facilities for ammunition facility personnel and security forces. This includes associated power and sanitation requirements. Construction and maintenance of perimeter security fences or other required security, infrastructure protection, and protection measures. Construction of fire breaks in and around the facility. Staff proponency for the integration of environmental considerations and the linkage to the surgeon on matters of the included force health protection issues. Adequate lightning protection system plans and installation. Medical treatment facilities. Regardless of the size, intensity, or duration of a conflict, medical treatment facilities are needed within base camps. With the fielding of deployable medical systems equipment to the intermediate staging base and area of operations, construction requirements are greatly reduced. However, the requirements for site preparation remain high. The following are some of the planning considerations for establishing medical facilities. Site preparation. Trash and garbage pits, soakage pits or a liquid disposal system, incinerators in addition to solid waste requirements, facilities such as showers, latrines, laundry services, food preparation and dining, water distribution, hazardous waste accumulation, storage and disposal, regulated medical waste accumulation, storage and disposal to include testing and disposal of ashes if incinerating waste, motor vehicle parking, landing zones, perimeter security, fuel storage, power system support. The longer the anticipated duration of the conflict, the greater the need to support medical treatment through fixed facilities. While medical facilities always entail a considerable amount of environmental considerations in temporary and fixed facilities, the importance of these considerations will increase over time and they should be applied as early as possible. These facilities are designed and built with the capacity and means to adequately treat injuries, shelter in place in case of hazmat release, and other health problems sustained during the contingency. Medical treatment facilities must facilitate rapid, high-quality treatment within the theater to expedite service member return to duty. In addition, United States forces are responsible for the well-being of enemy prisoners of war, DOD employees, contractors, and other non-military personnel who accompany combat forces such as the mass media and non-governmental organizations. The emergency treatment of Allied service members or the civilian population may also be required. Health service support system. In the absence of a deployable medical system-equipped hospital, Consider the use of an existing facility that was originally designed as a medical treatment facility or is readily adaptable to use as a medical treatment facility. Attention to the types of buildings, their potential patient capacity, and their effective use prior to the conduct of an operation may result in the selection and use of facilities that will save precious time and resources. Requirements for fixed facilities are generally restricted to the intermediate staging base, where hospital units do not move in conjunction with the redeployment of major tactical units. USACE has the capability of providing contingency real estate support teams that can assist in real estate matters and deploy in support of these requirements. The Forward Engineer Support Team Maine provides the localized command for USACE teams in the operational area and provides sustained USACE engineering execution capabilities within the operational area. Its capability includes real estate acquisition and disposal. See FM3-34 and JP3-34 for information on the USACE role in real estate support. The degree of permanence may range from an expeditionary field hospital to a semi-permanent hospital center to the permanent construction of an Air Force theater hospital. Site selection is the responsibility of health service support planners who, in turn, must coordinate with the logistics staff officer. The logistics staff officer allocates the site and coordinates for the required support. These facilities should be located so that patients can be brought in by ground and air ambulance and can be transferred within the intermediate staging base in preparation for intra- or inter-theater medical evacuation. Inter-theater medical evacuation will require quick access to airfields to transfer patients onto fixed-wing aircraft. It is highly desirable to choose locations near ground transportation networks and air terminals. Hospitals may also be located to support high-density troop populations. Medical treatment facility requirements are based on casualty estimates and the theater patient evacuation policy. Casualty estimates are derived from the number of personnel deployed as well as environmental and combat intensity planning factors. Casualty estimates are prepared by the personnel staff officer / assistant chief of staff personnel. The patient medical workload is determined by the Army Health System Support Planner System. The theater evacuation policy establishes the number of days that patients may be held within the theater for treatment before they return to duty, convalescence, or are evacuated to a facility outside the AOR. Shortcomings in existing hospital facilities and new requirements must be identified so that construction or rehabilitation can begin. Except when they are located in existing structures, Army hospitals require more than 3 days before they become fully functional. Once established, they can be moved only with substantial difficulty and time-consuming effort. JCMS or AFCS contains bills of materials, estimates of construction labor hours, and plans for hospital facilities and associated clinics. Medical treatment facility planning. Ideally, the best sites for medical treatment facilities have pre-existing utilities, such as a potable water supply, sewage disposal, and electrical power. When new medical treatment facility construction must be initiated, the site should be on a relative geospatial high point with subsoil that is free draining. The site should be isolated from areas where sanitation may be difficult, away from noise, smoke, odors, and other nuisances. The site should be located in an area that is conducive to expansion and safe for storing fuel needed for auxiliary power generation equipment. The site should also be located near waste collection facilities that can easily accommodate large volumes of contaminated material, including discarded food products and contaminated solids. The principles of phased construction will be enforced. Lower priority complementary facilities near a medical treatment facility may include a helicopter landing site, waste collection facilities, motor pools, laundry areas, vehicle parking areas, supply receiving and shipping facilities, and recreation areas. Even though waste collection facilities have low priority at the initial planning phase, the importance of this facility increases in direct proportion to the intensity and duration of the conflict since vast amounts of contaminated waste may be generated. Expedient methods for disposing of contaminated waste must be considered during the initial stages of planning. Such efforts must be designed to avoid any possibility of contaminating groundwater supplies. Expedient methods of landfills and incinerators should be planned to enhance medical treatment facilities. These methods should also be planned for semi-fixed facilities to prevent contamination of the groundwater supply, thus potentially exposing patients and staff to infections. Medical treatment facilities protection. Precautionary measures taken to prevent or minimize medical treatment facility damage as a result of natural disasters, accidents, and enemy activity are specified in the Area Damage Control Plan. A medical treatment facility should not be located immediately adjacent to potential tactical targets such as airfields, ammunition supply and storage facilities, petroleum oils and lubricant storage facilities, and major bridges. When the medical treatment facility must lie within an established defensive position, it should be located away from the outer perimeter and away from critical infrastructure. If the lack of camouflage endangers or compromises tactical operations, the camouflage of the Military Treatment Facility, MTF, may be ordered by a NATO commander of at least brigade level or equivalent. North Atlantic Treaty Organization STANAG 2931 provides for camouflage of the Geneva emblem and Red Crescent on medical facilities where the lack of camouflage might compromise tactical operations. Camouflage of the Red Cross means covering it up or taking it down. For an in-depth discussion of the law of land warfare, refer to FM6-27/MCTP11-10 Charlie. Detention facilities and dislocated civilian camps. Commanders should plan for expeditious facility and camp construction. Detention facilities and dislocated civilian camps are set up and operated the same as any basic base camp. See ATP3-37.10/MCRP3-40Delta.13. The basic planning criterion for all base camps is valid for detainee facilities and dislocated civilian camps. However, there are specialized considerations that must be added to that baseline criterion. Note: Detention Facilities and Dislocated Civilian Camp Construction Standards, Bills of Material, and Estimates of Construction Labor Hours are contained in the JCMS and AFCS. The length of time that the facility will operate must be considered when determining the standard of construction. In addition, engineers must complete an EBS in conjunction with an Environmental Health Site Assessment, EHSA, for the site. Detention Facilities. Detention involves the detainment of a population or group that poses some level of threat to military operations. Detention operations are conducted by military police to shelter, sustain, guard, protect, and account for populations, detainees, or United States military prisoners, as a result of military or civil conflict or to facilitate criminal prosecution. United States military prisoners and detainees must be housed in separate facilities. Battlefield detention and confinement facilities are capable of providing the necessary pre-trial and post-trial confinement for United States military prisoners, DOD civilian employees, DOD contractor personnel, and other persons serving with or authorized to accompany the United States military during declared war and in contingency operations. A field confinement facility is established at the theater level and is responsible for longer-term confinement before the evacuation of United States military prisoners from the theater. Field detention facilities are possible as low as the BCT level. See FM3-39 for additional information on battlefield detention and confinement facilities and planning considerations. Detainee facilities are classified as detainee collection points, detainee holding areas, or theater detainee facilities. All three facilities are built to directed construction standards and vary in size and capacity depending on the number and classification of detainees. Under certain circumstances, semi-permanent facility construction may be authorized. As with any construction, existing facilities that can be used directly or modified with a justifiable effort are preferable to new construction. See FM3-63 for additional information on detainee facilities and planning considerations. Dislocated civilian camps. Dislocated civilian is a broad term primarily used by the DOD that includes a displaced person, an evacuee, an internally displaced person, a migrant, a refugee, or a stateless person, JP3-29. Legal and political considerations define these categories. Dislocated civilians are removed from or leave their homes or places of habitual residence for reasons such as fear of persecution or to avoid the effects of armed conflict, situations of generalized violence, violations of human rights, natural or man-made disasters, or economic privation. The requirement to establish a dislocated civilian camp may occur across the range of military operations. Although the United Nations or other international organizations and non-government organizations, NGOs, typically build and operate dislocated civilian camps and provide basic assistance and services to the affected population, United States military forces may be tasked to perform this mission. Establishing dislocated civilian camps requires a combined arms approach to harness the necessary expertise in a variety of fields, such as logistics, engineering, protection, CA, environmental conditions, preventive medicine, military police, and resource management. For additional information on dislocated civilian planning considerations for dislocated civilian camps, see ATP 3-39.30 and ATP 3-57.10. Resettlement is conducted by military police to shelter, sustain, guard, protect, and account for dislocated civilians as a result of military or civil conflict or natural or man-made disasters. Resettlement includes dislocated civilians, refugees, migrants, expellees, internally displaced persons, evacuees, and stateless persons. General engineers may be required to support the construction of detention or resettlement facilities. See FM 3-63 for additional information on detention facility designs and logistics considerations. Depending on the duration and extent of the conflict, requirements for the evacuation of internees may warrant the establishment of internee holding areas within the core area and semi-permanent detainee facilities within more secure locations. Further evacuation to semi-permanent or permanent facilities outside the area of operations may also require provisions for total evacuation. The discussion of detainee facilities in this chapter is limited to the BCT, BLT, division, and theater levels. Generally, internees are evacuated for their own safety, for interrogation, for medical treatment, or to relieve troops in the capturing unit. Once detainees are gathered at detainee facilities, they may constitute a pool of potential labor assets. They are, however, subject to special considerations and limitations. Detainees constitute a significant labor force of skilled and unskilled individuals. These individuals should be employed to the fullest extent possible in work that is needed to construct, manage, perform administrative functions for, and maintain the detainee facility. Per AR 190-8, detainees may be employed in other essential work only when other qualified civilian labor is not available. Detainee labor, which is external to the DoD, is regulated through contracts. See AR 190-8 for a complete discussion on the employment and compensation of detainees. Exercise caution when contemplating the use of internees for labor and contact the Office of the Staff Judge Advocate for guidance. The Staff Judge Advocate or their representative ensures that the policy complies with domestic law and international legal obligations. See Convention 3 relative to the treatment of prisoners of war, Geneva, FM 3-63. Operation and maintenance. Base camp operation is the O&M of the base camp physical plant and the provision of base camp services and support that are needed to achieve the base camp purpose and fulfill functional requirements. The skills needed for operating and managing base camps do not reside in any single branch or functional area. A grouping of capabilities is required to produce synergic effects within the base camp. Success hinges on placing the right people with the right skill sets at the right time. Any shortfalls in skills or capabilities at a base camp are filled through the tenant units or reachback for augmentation or contracted support. ATP 3-37.10/MCRP 3-40Delta.13, MCRP 3-17.7 November for more information on Base Camp O&M. Base Camp Operations. The Base Operations Center is the centralized facility on a base camp that issues guidance pertaining to the O&M of the base camp. It is the base camp commander's primary means of maintaining situational awareness and managing the performance of the base camp function and the provision of services and support to ensure efficiency and effectiveness. ATP 3-37.10/MCRP 3-40Delta.13, MCRP 3-17.7 November for more information on the Base Operations Center. See ADP 50, ADP 60, and MCWP 5-1 for more information on the operations process. The Ground Component Commander or Service Component Commanders may share responsibilities for O&M of access, reception, staging, onward movement and integration, and initial beddown facilities, depending on their assigned areas of responsibility. General engineer assets may be assigned specific tasks to support the O&M of specific base camps or beddown facilities, or they may be supported on an area basis as implied tasks within their supported areas. The combatant commander and supported commands may share responsibilities for O&M of en route base camps or facilities and initial beddown facilities depending on where they are located with respect to the area of operations. For base camps, the primary responsibility for O&M rests with the base camp commander and assigned tenant units. Anything above and beyond their capabilities can be handled by general engineers or contractors with specialized skill sets. Engineers can support the base camp as a directorate of public works or facility engineer. Directorates of Public Works on base camps are supported with assigned personnel and equipment assets to handle infrastructure-owned M improvements, master planning, energy, water, waste, housing, and environmental compliance. Facility engineers can provide the base camp with O&M support services that include building maintenance, facility repair, road repair, ice, snow, and sand removal, grounds maintenance, refuse removal, recycling, utility operations, and pest control. See AD-Alpha-243-233 for more information on public works. For bed-down facilities, the designated commander and the assigned tenant units are responsible for the general O&M of their facilities. Anything beyond their capabilities can be handled by general engineers. Engineers can be requested to handle O&M activities requiring specialized skill sets. The maintenance of bed-down facilities is performed at lower standards than that of base camp since bed-down facilities are used for a limited period of time. Because of the brief utility of bed-down facilities, engineer resources are limited and the focus is on an economy of effort. That is, engineers would implement field expedient and temporary measures for repairing bed-down facilities rather than investing in costly upgrades and major improvements to the quality of life. Commanders may defer routine maintenance during initial bed-down until the tactical situation allows resources to be committed. Some engineer-specific facilities, systems, and the repair of most facilities will require the early entry of engineering and maintenance units to bring facility systems back online. Depending on real estate agreements and when no longer needed, some bed-down facilities may require maintenance and repair to return them to owners in an agreed-upon condition. Base camp maintenance. Temporary construction in base camps is not intended for long-term use, thus increasing the need for proper maintenance and repair to keep base camps in good operating condition. The base camp commander has the overall responsibility for maintenance and repair. Capabilities that extend beyond tenant units require support by general engineers. Units and organizations that occupy facilities are encouraged to establish internal teams that perform routine maintenance and repair facilities. Engineers perform maintenance and repair work that exceeds the capabilities of user units. This support usually requires specialized skills or heavy equipment. General engineers can assist the base camp commander by providing routine maintenance and services on base camp facilities. This can include facility inspections, structural assessments, construction material orders, and work schedules. Because materials and parts can be in short supply, base camp commanders, with the assistance of engineer advisors, must be vigilant in establishing a proactive maintenance program. Base camp commanders are responsible for establishing, directing, and controlling 24-hour emergency response to base camp incidents due to acts of nature, accidents, or enemy activity. See ATP3-37.10/MCRP3-40Delta.13, MCRP3-17.7 November. General engineers can also provide rapid response, which includes performing immediate repair required after natural disasters, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, restoring power outages, fixing water main leaks that impact key facilities, responding to fuel and hazmat spills and leaks, fighting fires and dealing with the aftermath of explosions, repairing perimeter fencing, barriers, and obstacles to prevent enemy penetration, repairing lighting and other security systems to restore observation and monitoring, repairing facilities that are deemed mission critical and essential to base activities.